from Wondery. I'm Rico Galliano, and this is One Plus One. On this show, we tell the stories of history's greatest creative collaborations and, as you may have noticed from the last few episodes, history's greatest rivalries, stories about brilliant people pushing each other to new heights. Whether it's Kobe and Shaq or Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera, there's something magical that happens when people's ideas and gifts come together. And on today's show, we want to take a second to reflect on that spark or the chemistry that arises between great partners, the kind that spurs people to create great art or blockbuster business ideas or inspiring social movements. And for that, we could think of no better mind to probe than that of Mr. Joshua Wolf Schenck. He is a curator, an essayist, he is editor-in-chief of the magazine The Believer, and most importantly for our interests, he is author of the book Powers of Two, How Relationships Drive Creativity, which we drew a lot from for this very show. In the book, Joshua also examines duos like Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, Lennon and McCartney, and Pierre and Marie Curie. He examines how they find each other, how they communicate, why some seem to thrive through conflict, and why some split up while others carry on together forever. He joined me to talk about all of this, plus tips for finding your own collaborator. I hope you enjoy our conversation.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Joshua Wolf Schenck is a curator, essayist, and author of the book Powers of Two, How Relationships Drive Creativity. And Josh, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So the main concept of this book, if I were to boil it down to one sentence, is that solitary genius is a myth. Explain this.
Yes. The book began with a question, and it really circles around that question. What is this thing we call chemistry between two people? And what are the conditions and qualities, tangible, you know, ineffable, sometimes just downright mysterious, that lead two people to be able to do something so much greater than any one person could do on her or his own? And as I begin to ask that question and look at instances where you see this chemistry, I began to see over and over again the places where we thought a great creative achievement was the result of a single mind, you know, the mythical genius. We have actually a profound and really a problematic gap between the reality of how creative work is made and the way that the stories are told. Because the stories are almost always told about an individual.
Why do you think that is? Why are we as a culture so attached to the idea of a lone genius specifically? One guy or woman doing something on their own?
I think there are a couple of reasons. One is that we have these dumb brains that want simple stories. And a simple story should have a single hero. A second reason is that when you really get into these relationships, it is emotionally really challenging. The stories of lone geniuses are clean, and you know they can be coated in hard plastic and you know put on a shelf and consumed. The stories of partnerships, of relationships, of what I call creative intimacy, it's messy. It's changing. It involves a lot of darkness, a lot of, you know, bright light too. There's jealousy, there's anger, there's even, you know, betrayal and devastation. And that is, it's a big part of the real story of creativity that, you know, most people don't want to encounter. I mean, most people actually want the fruits of creativity, but don't actually want to reckon with the reality of what it means to be creative.
Well, allow me to play devil's advocate and say, so what? Like, what are we really losing by not exploring that, the power of pairs or that dark or difficult side of creativity? What as a society are we losing?
Well, I think we lose a lot because one can't follow a creative path without a roadmap. You know, some rare people come to it intuitively, but almost everyone needs to be taught. And if what you're taught is mythical and you're comparing mm-hmm. yourself to that myth, you're bound to fail and you're not even going to recognize your failure for what it is, which is a failure of the model. You're going to consider it a personal failure. And I think young people especially, it is at the edge of tragedy that we don't educate them on how things really work. And then what you see happening is the more sophisticated you are, the more access you have to the actual reality of creative production, the more educated you're going to be. But that's a rich get richer kind of situation. Like if you were at an unbelievably good MFA program and they're bringing the best writers and editors and agents in the world in to meet with you, they're going to tell you the real deal. But if you're at a community college,
yeah, you don't just do this on your own. You need educators and teachers and editors.
Exactly. And yeah, this is how it works. I mean, most people who want to be, you know, most people in a rural high school, you know, who want to be a published poet probably don't even know that a thing called a literary agent exists. You know, how is that mm-hmm. brought to bear in the ordinary lives of, you know, aspiring writers?
Indeed. All right, let's move on specifically to Lennon and McCartney. They are one of the most epic duos, probably of all time. They kind of embody what we think of when we think of creative pairs. You also kick your book off talking about them. Why do they stand out for so many people and clearly to you as the iconic creative pair?
What I found was I looked at hundreds and hundreds of examples of creative intimacy. And I was looking for, you know, what is true in all times and all situations? What are the core themes? And I found that John and Paul really lit all of them up. They really, they not only actually embodied the truth of these lessons and themes, they really illustrated them with a lot of vigor and power and clarity. And by the way, you know, one of the things they illustrate is just how insistent we are on the lone genius, because even this relationship, which is about as good a relationship as you can get to illustrate the power of creative connection, we as a culture have desperately tried to pull them apart and to put them in the box of mm-hmm. sort of individual lone geniuses. And you see it all the time. Well, it was really John. It was really Paul. It's the most insane argument, and yet we continue to have it. And even Lennon and McCartney themselves, I think, were prone to it, and were themselves actually hurt by a impoverished knowledge of creative production mm-hmm. because they didn't hold in their hearts a model of how the two of them together was something real and vital and not something to be you know, defended against by returning to a claim of lone genius.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look like that? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. But there's an easier way. When you download Thumbtack, it's easier to care for your home from top to bottom. Pull out your phone, and in just a few steps, you can search, chat, and book highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. So say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects, and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
Well, since we're talking about other pairings, you've identified a ton of them, and you've identified the different forms they can take.
Yeah.
Run us through the different forms of creative pairs, starting with the Lennon-McCartney model, which is what you call an overt partnership. What is that?
Well, just that they named, you know, they name it as a partnership. You know, both their names are on the bill. Both their names are on the credits. You know, you can see that there are two people involved. So the Lennon-McCartney partnership is overt. A second type is what I call a hidden partnership, and that's where one of the two people is hidden, not publicly known, you know, maybe because it just is not a public-facing role. The person is behind the camera instead of in front of the camera. Often there is ego involved, and the public-facing person actually is kind of actively minimizing the role of the hidden partner. That's very often a factor, although for the most part, people who are not in public-facing roles actually prefer that, thrive in it, and do great work there, and are very often the dominant partner, actually. They're very often the one leading the ostensible, you know, front woman or front man. So one example would be Charlie Munger and Warren Buffett. Buffett says all the time that, you know, Munger is the anchor, is the real decision maker, is the person that he turns to as a kind of arbiter of good and bad choices. And Charlie Munger is hardly unknown. There are, you know, major articles and books
I'd
about him.
I'd honestly never heard of him until I read your book.
Yeah. Well, very often what you see is this hidden partner, so-called, is very well known in the field. You know, there are famous cinematographers and film producers. I mean, Christine Vachon is a very, very well-known person in independent film, but she's not on The Tonight Show. Todd Haynes is going to take that turn.
Yeah, the director she produces, yeah.
Yes. And they've done, you know, everything Todd Haynes has done since his student film that caught her attention, you know, she has produced. I don't know that relationship well enough to talk about the power dynamics within it, I should be clear. But another one that is constantly on my mind, just because it's so, it makes me so sad that we don't understand it better, is Ralph Abernathy and Martin Luther King Jr., who met in Montgomery and just immediately brought each other to life and to fire. And from the very beginning, you know, literally the first dramatic actions that we associate with King, the Montgomery bus boycott, they organized together, you know, large-scale strategy, small-scale tactics, and they were very clear on the role that each would play. And, you know, King was a brilliant, passionate orator, and he, you know, he was the one to go out in front of the cameras and to write the big speeches and to deliver them. And Abernathy was more, you know, muscle behind the scenes, but it was extremely intimate and they were extremely entwined. And what you see when King died is the combination of him being martyred, the element of jealousy that a lot of people in the movement had for Abernathy. And Abernathy's just, you know, without his partner, he could not function at nearly the same level. And it's kind of cascading of effects to the point where, you know, no American city lacks a Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. And Ralph Abernathy is hardly known at all. It makes me sad in the level where I just want people to know the truth. But it's also, I think of, you know, young activists who are inspired by King and don't know that really the first thing they should do is look for their Abernathy.
Interesting. All right. So that's a obviously dramatic example of your second dyad, the hidden type of pair. And then you got a third, which is a distinct pair. What is that?
So a distinct partnership is where you have two people who look like they're doing very different things, but are actually interacting with each other in really profound ways that it is a kind of collaboration, although the collaboration is an imperfect word. It is certainly a creative intimacy. You know, one unusual example, but I think telling because it does kind of mark the extreme edge of this territory, is Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, where, you know, they're playing on different teams. They're competing with one another. There's no way in which they are, in any traditional sense, collaborating with one another. And yet they created each other. And I don't think that that's too extreme a way to say it. They defined each other. They got into each other's heads to the point where they were each other's motivation. They were each other's, you know, reason for being. And the fact that they wanted to kill the other guy on the court and took such relish in it, that runs alongside this enormously creative force that the relationship was. And it's another of these relationships that has an arc that's almost too good to be true. But it is true that they began playing opposite one another from the very start. They entered the NBA at the same time. And when Magic Johnson made the dramatic confession that he had AIDS and he was HIV positive and he was going to retire from the game, Larry Bird immediately said, well, I'm done too. No point playing if he's not around.
Yeah. This actually brings to mind a question about these kind of pairs. How often do you have that kind of situation where they actually appreciate at the moment that they're rivals what the other is providing to them? Because obviously they're playing on opposite teams. Maybe they're not actually hanging out all that much. How often do they really know I depend on that person in some way?
It's a great question. I think most people are aware of it. They may defend against it. They may repel that knowledge in the same way that you might push away the person who you need the most, because it's overwhelming. But I think it's pretty apparent. And if you were to take any creative person aside and ask them a handful of questions, you can pretty quickly get at the creative relationships that are essential. It's not that obscure.
But on the other hand, partnerships aren't always equal, right?
Yeah, equality is another crazy myth, and I think it also applies in a destructive way to romantic relationships, that this may be some errant, you know, American idea that everything should be flat and democratic. That's not the way relationships work. There always are power imbalances and peculiar dynamics. Usually, both people will have some power, but at any given moment, one person is usually leading. And that is just the way life is. And we're going to be in a lot of pain if we don't just acquiesce to that fact. And that's another basic misunderstanding people have about these relationships. They say, oh, well, you know, that person is really only doing 15% and I'm doing 85%. So therefore, it's not a collaboration because it's not exactly 50-50 and we're not splitting the money exactly and I deserve more credit. That's not a criteria for what I'm looking at. What I'm looking at is, could the work get done in the way it got done without the relationship?
What can somebody do to maybe spark chemistry with somebody else to develop creative intimacy? You know, like, is it possible to will a great partnership into happening? Can you do that ever?
I don't think you can will a partnership into happening, but you can, I think, be aware of the qualities and really be on the lookout for it. I mean, I don't think you can't will, you know, a big piece of metal to exist under the beach, but you can get a really good divining rod or whatever they call those dowsers, you know, so that rather than, you know, having to dig up hundreds of square feet, you can just walk along until you hear that, you know, loud beeping sound. And that's how I think of the guidance.
Yeah, what's the guiding dowsing rod of finding a creative partner?
Well, it begins with having an awareness and an openness to experiencing chemistry and recognizing it when it happens and recognizing that it will certainly be exciting, but it may be unpleasant and it may actually, you know, incite all kinds of defensive reactions. I mean, there's the classic story, and I have one ingrained in my head because it was this primal story of my second grade life where these two boys, David and Brian, met. I think one of them came to our school from another, and they immediately began to fight with each other. And like, I think they literally were like tumbling around on the schoolyard, and then very quickly after became best friends, inseparable. That often happens. It happened with Tolkien and Lewis, that they really...
J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, yeah.
Yes. They really, they were on the edge of infuriated at the other. But the passions that arose were very much, you know, what we call chemistry. It was exciting. It was arousing. They wanted to do more. They wanted to engage. Each became more of themselves in relation to the other. You know, but it is all, sometimes it's much more fun than that. It's just like, wow, I'm suddenly able to talk, you know, fluidly and, you know, to form my thoughts. And I feel, you know, there's that feeling that we, you know, we've been in a desert and suddenly, you know, a desert of kind of being misunderstood or not seen. And then suddenly we're in a conversation and we recognize we're not alone. This is one I really love myself, is when something that feels shameful to us suddenly seems like a source of, you know, humor or great interest. You know, you confess something that you're gravely ashamed of at a party, and the other person begins to laugh and tells you their story, and you realize this thing that you thought was a weight on your shoulders is actually much more, you know, like fuel in your tank.
This is actually something that we should be looking out for. Like if we experience that, you might want to have your antenna out. This might be a partnership you want to develop, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's where it starts. What I do in the book is sort of walk people through what happens next. It's not that is a moment of such power and beauty and surprise that it feels magical. But the error very often in storytelling is to say, well, then the rest was history. You know, in fact, a great deal needs to happen. And there's a reason why the next phase is passed over in stories, because it involves the passage of an enormous amount of time and the logging a lot of hours and just really coming into a kind of familiarity, because you can't do truly great work without a lot of trust, and you can't have trust without a lot of time. And that is what trust is. Trust is knowing that someone's going to do what they say they're going to do, and knowing that you can count on them. And you can only develop that with experience.
Joshua Wolfshank, it's so illuminating to talk to you about this stuff. Thank you so much for talking to us, and we'll be talking to you again, I hope.
My pleasure.
That was my conversation with Joshua Wolfshank. If you're interested in reading more of his writing on creative partnerships, do check out his book, Powers of Two: How Relationships Drive Creativity. It's really great. On the next episode of 1+1, we're going to dive into a whole new series and creative pair, Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera. It's a story of love and anguish that inspired some of the 20th century's most riveting images. And if you are a fan of Kobe and Shaq's and you think you were not going to be interested in this, you are wrong. There is plenty of drama and plenty of fascinating facts to learn.
To hear more seasons of 1+1, listen exclusively with Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus for more exclusives, binges, early access, and ad-free listening. Available in the Wondery app. This episode was hosted by Rico Galliano. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Sound design by Bay Area Sound. Executive producers are Jenny Lauer-Beckman, Marshall Louie, and Hernan Lopez for Wondery. And a note about the conversations you've been hearing. We can't know exactly what was said, but this dialogue is based on our best research.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.